I'm Alex Chadwick. This is Day to Day. In Georgia, the former Soviet republic, the new president, Mikhail Saakashvili, is trying to deal with a provincial leader with ambitions of his own. Georgia's Adjara region includes the Black Sea trading zone that ships out 200,000 barrels of oil daily. But for years, Adjara's boss, with close ties to Russia, has refused to pay taxes to Georgia's central government. Kelly McEvers reports.
To understand the conflict between Georgia's central government and its stubborn western region, Adjara, is to know the men behind it. On the central government side is young, U.S.-educated attorney Mikhail Saakashvili, who was elected president in January after a bloodless revolution. On the other side is the aging Aslan Abashidze, who, with the help of his own private militia, has ruled his seaside region like a feudal lord since 1991, when Georgia gained independence from the Soviet Union. At issue is which man will ultimately control Adjara and its lucrative border and port, where trains carrying oil from Central Asia are loaded onto ships heading west. All that traffic was halted earlier this month when President Saakashvili slapped an economic blockade on Adjara. That's because when Saakashvili himself tried to travel to Adjara, technically within the borders of his own country, he was turned away by tanks and armed militiamen who fired shots into the air. Saakashvili put his own troops on high alert. After 4 days of intense standoff, Saakashvili announced he would again try to enter Adjara. This time, he was allowed in. He told a crowd of supporters that while Georgia has permitted other regions to secede in the past, it would not allow Adjara to do so now. Saakashvili and Abashidze held talks after the standoff and resolved their immediate differences. And Abashidze agreed to allow observers to monitor voting in last weekend's parliamentary elections, bowing to Saakashvili's concerns that the polls be free and fair. Abashidze is an autocrat who has put family members in positions of power throughout Adjara. Known as the chairman, he surrounds himself with a coterie of guards in camouflage and balaclavas who carry AK-47 rifles. He spends his time between trips to Moscow and meetings at a palatial office in Adjara's crumbling port city, Batumi. Power outages leave the city in complete darkness at night, except on Abashidze Street, where a row of trees is lit with hundreds of lights, as if for Christmas, and a searchlight from a guard tower follows a visitor's every move. At a 2 a.m. news conference, Abashidze told reporters he will not step down from power, even if his party fails to win any seats in parliament, leaving him without a constitutional claim to Adjara.
There is no connection between my seats in Georgian parliament and my present position.
Gia Nodia heads a Georgian think tank in the capital, Tbilisi. He says now that Abashidze's back is against the wall, the chairman might be more dangerous than ever.
I think the most dangerous thing is that Mr. Abashidze is a very paranoid personality. Nobody can predict what he will do next.
Nodia says there is much more at stake in the conflict than which man gets to control Adjara. He says the U.S. wants a peaceful, unified Georgia because of its interest in a multi-billion-dollar oil pipeline being built through the country. And the U.S. is not the only concerned superpower, Nodia says. Russia still maintains more than 1,000 troops in Adjara.
Russia sees Adjara and Abashidze's regime as its last stronghold within Georgia, because they are very nervous about Saakashvili's new government, which they see too pro-Western, pro-American, pro-European.
Nodia says that although the first major showdown between Saakashvili and Abashidze has been resolved, it probably isn't the last. For NPR News, I'm Kelly McEvers.